starting lineup. Brady and Price welcomes back terrific actor Kim Coates. They say sometimes star of stage and screen. You are nominated for Star and Small Screen this year with awards. Very busy. Great year for you, Kim Coates. Welcome back.
I know. Thank you, boys. And, you know, I love my sports, so to be here with you guys is really awesome. I've been sleeping outside for an hour waiting to come in here, so thanks for finally bringing me in.
It felt like 15 minutes, though, didn't it?
15 minutes.
You're just getting into the REM stage of dreaming. I'm not going to ask what about.
I was. I don't remember.
Try some of those cupcakes out there. They've only been here since last night.
I took a pass, but Stephanie Perrin, my publicist, she ate four
of
them.
Yeah.
Congrats.
The icing's really holding 22 hours later. Sometimes it doesn't.
They look so fresh, lads. I mean,
industrially made,
that?
I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of fresh, I'm seeing promos for the new season starts tomorrow night. You look like you, but Paul Sorvino looks younger than he did in 1990s Goodfellas. I know he's married to a younger woman now. I don't want to get into that. Maybe that's the magic elixir. But how is he? He's in his 70s now. Like, he was only in his late 40s when he did the Paulie role in Goodfellas. He looks amazing.
What's his secret? Black shoe polish goes a long way.
That's what it is. Well, how much is he using of it? And it's more than just on top of his head also.
And he sings opera. That keeps him young. He was in the first season. Obviously, he died in the first season. They're showing promos from last season.
That's right.
Spoiler alert.
So, yeah, that was from last season. Paul Sorvino was an incredible addition for myself and Anthony LaPaglia, who played Vito Rizzuto. I played Declan Gardner, his right-hand man. The first season was just such a hit that they decided to do a second season, and we just wrapped early August, and it opens tomorrow night, like you said. And it's so good, guys. It's so great.
Now, when do you know, as a actor, do they try and keep some of that stuff from you, that you're losing Paul in season one? You start to, can you read ahead? Do they try and keep that under wraps?
No, we knew right away.
Yeah.
We knew. It's based on a true story. And Vito's dad did get shot through the window, and so Paul played Papa Sorvino, and we all knew he was going. But yeah, Paul was great. He's 6'4", and he's super young, and he sings all day long, and he can act with the best of them. And don't.
No. I was going to say that you know, because as you mentioned, it's a true story. You know, Declan takes over. You know that you're about to be the man.
Yeah, I did. And now the second season, because the first one was based loosely on the book, obviously, there's a lot of truths in that first season. Now it's just a total fictionalized Declan Gardner story. And Michael Conavis, who wrote it, did such an incredible job in bringing in these two Italians from Italy to cause me so much grief. One boy, one girl. And they are the true reason why second season was, I think, as epic as it is. It's so dynamic and violent and true, and it's really great.
Kim Coates is with us in studio from Bad Blood. Tomorrow night starts at 8:00. I think we've all talked about this. I mean, Elliot spent so much time in Montreal.
Yeah.
We never lose fascination with mob stories. We don't like, if we see it on the news, we're like, oh my God, that's terrible. There was a mob killing in my friend's neighborhood. But we can't get enough of it when it's fictional. We can't get enough of it in books and TV and movies. It's never stopped. It's generally been a recipe to print money when you make mob TV and movies.
It's kind of true, right? I mean, we go through that era of, oh, the Westerns are back.
Yeah.
Mob stories are back. Oh, sitcoms are hot again. For whatever reason, The Sopranos in the late 90s, when they did The Sopranos with the late James Gandolfini, as we all know, that was the beginning again of the mob story. And I think the reason why people get so into the mob story is it's about family. It really is about family and the dynamics. None of us are mobsters at this table. I happen to play one pretty well.
Elliot. Nobody knows. Why?
For heaven's sakes, have another cupcake.
Now you're going to get
it.
Now.
Come on. Back it up a bit. No. So, yeah, I think when you talk about family and the dynamics of family, and Declan Gardner, my character, has a family for the first time in the second season. He finds out he has a nephew that he never knew he had. And the Italians, they're crazy. They're completely crazy with their family dynamics, and the writing's off the charts.
You hear actors talk about this a lot, and they're drawn to being the bad guy. The bad guy is so much more fun to play than the guy in the white hat. What specifically for you drew you to this, and just the bad guy in general?
Costner, who's a buddy of mine, always told me the bad guys, they get the writing. They get the writing. They really get to chew on the writing. And I've always thought it's really tough to play a really good guy. The guy next door, you know, just the simple guy. Those guys are hard to pop off the screen. It's all about the writing. It always is. And for me, when I read this last season, it was a no brainer to sign on right after Sons of Anarchy and the movies I was doing again. This was to come back home in this great city and to film in Montreal and Sudbury and Hamilton and a couple of other marshes along the way.
Metropolitan areas, the big spots.
Yeah.
Now, you know how Canadians feel about Canadians. When we hear Kim Coates, and we don't know a whole lot about him, but he's in Sons of Anarchy, and he's Canadian. We get very excited.
Good.
So we're so proud of you.
Thanks.
But so you do the television. You have success with Sons of Anarchy. This Bad Blood is going really well. You had the two Goon movies. They did really well. So what makes you want to get back on stage in the theater, and you're up for an award for that? What's the pull there?
How great was that? We actually won them all. Yeah, we did this play called Jerusalem. I played Rooster Johnny Byron, one of the biggest parts probably ever written, really, for a male. And Sir Mark Rylance won the Tony and the Laurence Olivier Award on Broadway and in London. And I had dinner with him in December last year. And he passed the baton to me. And I'd gone to Pusey 4 times, London 4 times, England, studied with a vocal coach. Came back on stage, first time in 27 years here at the Crow's Theater, sold it out, couldn't get a ticket. Yeah, we won 7 for 7, best actor, best ensemble, play, director, fan award, lighting, everything. It was really cool. Really, you don't do it for awards, but when the community does give back to you, it's a really thank you so much.
I myself, I feel like I have less time to watch, because you got to watch sports to be here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you do.
And but I've never felt like television has been better, and I don't feel like there's ever more discussions
about.
Are you watching this show? Are you watching that show? No, I haven't started. And you're like, well, I can't even speak to you now because I've seen 6 seasons of this, and you haven't started it. So, but it's. I think it's been at the expense, to be honest, of movies. Are you still sometimes surprised with everything we got? We've all got our surround sound. We've all got our big TVs. They're cheaper than ever. That movies still do as well as they do. People are like, they went crazy to see A Star Is Born. They'll go crazy for the new Halloween. It still is that thing about dating and going out and that first experience, the lights go down, the previews. It's still a great special, right?
What a great question and observation. But I have to add to that, I think one of the reasons why TV has been in an explosion for the better in the last 15 years is because of the writing. It's because of the characters. And I'm not a hypocrite. I've been in big movies, as you boys know, and I'll be in more of them. But these big-ass movies, I get confused now. I don't know what superheroes who. I don't know who's fighting who.
There's too many of them.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's just, I don't know what's going on anymore. But the theaters are still packed. What I worry about is still telling stories. Thank goodness for film festivals. Like, I've got a beautiful film festival in Woodstock. I leave tomorrow morning right after we premiere tonight for my cast and crew, Bad Blood 2. And then tomorrow it's all over Canada, like we talked about. But I'm getting picked up to go to Albany, New York, where I'll get picked up to go to Woodstock to open the festival with a little movie I did with Bill Fichtner. You know William Fichtner. He's done a million movies. Yeah. We met on Black Hawk Down. This is a passion project of ours. We've been trying to get it produced for 8 years. We finally did. We shot it last year in Buffalo. And we're opening the Woodstock Film Festival. So those festivals allow movies that I think are incredible stories, like we had in the 70s and the 80s, boys. Those incredible stories. Movies have changed now, but that doesn't mean people aren't still going to them. I just want access to these great little stories that maybe big theaters don't want to have because they're so busy with those big movies.
Further, further to that, what Greg's question, he talked about television hasn't, I don't think has been as good as it is now. And
except for those 5 Miami Vice years.
Well.
I really, you know, that was Friday evening for me. I was a loser in high school sitting at home watching.
But think of what that show did for fashion, Greg.
Right?
That's probably why I was at home watching it.
Son.
It was probably, I was dressing like those guys thinking that works. It doesn't work.
I'm always curious to find out what it is that you like watching. Like what if you go home and you click on Netflix or you click on one of the networks, what shows do you like to sit and watch?
It's great because I really truly like you guys. It's hard to find the time. Now we can binge watch, right? Now you can actually go on Netflix or Amazon or FX and you've taped or you have them at your ready and call. You can watch 10 of them over a weekend if you have the time, right? I watch Billions right now because Maggie
Amazing.
Siff, it's kind of good,
Maggie's
right?
Maggie's
so good. Married to Paul Giamatti. Are you kidding me, Paul? You've never been luckier in your life.
Have you not watched Mayans? I mean,
it just started. Right. I have not yet. I want it to be a big hit. I think it's going to find its way. I'm not sure what people
are
saying
about
it. Yeah, I haven't met the. I mean, Emilio Rivera played Alvarez.
No, I don't mean the Mayans. I mean the people.
I mean, those are my
know.
People.
I don't know.
I live with the Mayans. I do.
It's a spinoff from Sons of Anarchy. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we'll see. Those are your people, Kim.
You could go on myancestry.ca right. and find out if that's I suppose.
Give a drop of my sweat and find out.
I had a peg more of an Aztec than a Mayan myself.
Well, tell you what, you say that. So take Damian Lewis. Nobody gets typecast anymore. He can be on Homeland for those 3 years, right? The vet coming back. He's compromised.
Yeah, he's great.
And then he can be the New York Islanders billionaire on Billions, and it's amazing.
He's
right?
just great. And accents, right, boys? Like in the play I did, I mean, I took like this the whole time. My hair was like that, and I was walking with a peg leg, and I stuck my chest out like that the whole time from Wilshire. And I got to work on an accent. Those kinds of things are so much fun for actors like Damien, being English like he is, and Australian. All these guys getting to work on American accents is fun for them.
Although the political correctness limits the accents. I find our bosses advise us, please don't do any accents that aren't like Irish or Scottish. I feel like that's the only safe accent.
He doesn't anyway.
I feel that those are the only safe. You really shouldn't do any other accents in 2018.
It is 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. Kim Coates, a terrific actor, in with us this morning. Now you're a sports fan. I'm watching Hughes doing his update, and he mentioned the Leafs power play, and you went, wow.
Yeah, the Leafs are off the charts. I mean, I'm a Red Wings fan. You've got Babcock. You've got all my boys now. And I really, truly believe that the Leafs are on their way. I really do. I think it's 2, 3, 4 years. They're going to win the whole thing. You heard it here, not first. You boys have been talking
maybe
about it. It's been a lot. Yeah, I mean, are they really scoring like 7 goals a game now?
Averaging 5 a game.
Greg said like 5.5 a game?
Yeah. 3.5 is the highest that anyone scored in the last decade, and they're at 5 right now. But it's 4 games in. I mean, but they could flirt with 3.5 all year. Sure they could with this kind of firepower.
Does the preseason mean nothing?
No.
It doesn't, does it? Like, my Wings were 7-1, and they haven't won yet. It's okay. It's early.
They
I
had
get
them an award. Was there, like, a trophy for...
They scheduled all Bantam teams. No one over the age of 15 played against the Wings in the preseason. That was a mistake.
It's exciting that's for all the teams, right? All the young guys they got coming up and some of the trades they made. Traveras, obviously, that's kind of... Yeah. Are we going to get a captain here or...
I think you got to give it to Austin Matthews eventually. I think now the prevailing thought is I thought Tavares would get named before the season, Kim, and I think now there's this sort of dark rumor that Austin Matthews doesn't have a letter right now. They'll just give him the C at the end of this season. And if he wins the Hart Trophy, how do you not do that?
It's right? great. I think, and Babcock went to visit him a couple of times in the summer,
in Arizona,
right? They hung out a little bit. Had dinner and talked about the season and whatnot. I think Matthews will eventually get that C, but Tavares is going to be here for a while now. He was a captain already, right? So do you just put A's on both their shirts?
No, Matthews didn't get one.
He didn't even get an A.
So tell us what you think. You've gone to Staples Center for games. When I've gone out, the Kings have a incredibly loyal fan base. I don't think it's fair when they get lumped in with some of the Florida teams.
Because
they've been doing it almost 50 years now.
It's nuts down there.
So they're nuts. What would a Leafs Kings final in LA be? They've won two recent cups, so I don't know.
Well,
would Leaf fans push in there and make it like a 50-50 base?
The Leafs travel. They're like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They travel. I've seen them play the Ducks in the pond. I've seen them play at the Staples Center. There's more blue and white in the fans. Not more. I shouldn't say that, but it's packed. You cannot get a ticket. And what I love about LA is they love their hockey. Oh, I know. But the problem is we don't have you guys down there. We don't have guys who are knowledgeable about hockey down there. They talk basketball 24/7. Baseball for sure. A little bit of football, right? Now that we have the Rams there now.
And you know how big USC used to be there with college football too, right?
Oh yeah. But hockey to the true like Steve Levy and the boys and Barry Melrose, who are my pals to hang with those guys. Hockey to the fans, there's nothing better down there. There's nothing better. They follow the Kings and Ducks religiously. It's so good to see.
I just wonder if Kings fans will sell their Cup Final tickets to Leafs fans going, because Leafs fans will take out second mortgages to see a Stanley Cup Final game, right?
They will.
They'll pay any amount, like the Cubs fans did 3 years ago.
And boys, wasn't that the big series back in the day with Wayne Gretzky and the Leafs?
Absolutely. Marty McSorley fighting Wendell Clark.
Wasn't that? Yeah, right? Yeah. And Wendell Clark?
Yeah. The high stick that wasn't, or maybe was.
We got so robbed. That's right. So, come on. Who wouldn't want to see that again? That would be amazing.
That's a matchup I want. I want them to play. You might want Vegas because he loves his Golden Knights.
I like the Vegas.
But there's no other Western team I'd rather see the Leafs play than the Kings in that market in a final.
I mean,
we've already got them in the final. What's wrong with us? Four games in.
Is Vancouver going to beat anyone this year? I just want to know. What is going on with that team?
Rebuilding to some extent, right? Ottawa and Montreal. We all thought Montreal would be kind of lousy this year. Yeah, they're not as lousy maybe as we thought.
Yeah.
See, you do a lot of Toronto and LA. How much time do you actually spend in this market?
In Toronto?
Yeah.
As much as I can. I mean, when I did the play Jerusalem, I was here for 3 months, Jan, Feb, March, kind of chilly. But got to a couple of games. It was awesome. And then I filmed Bad Blood in Montreal, Sudbury, and Hamilton. So I wasn't much in Toronto from that sort of April to August, but I'm here as much as I can.
Talk about shooting at a TV show in Sudbury.
Hollywood North?
Yeah.
It's a beauty.
You ever drive
What's
past
your next
Big
question?
Nickel?
Yeah. What are you
okay,
really asking?
No, I'm from Northern Ontario. I went to school in North Bay. So I know Sudbury, so they used to train the astronauts apparently because there's no foliage up there. It looks like it's like walking on the moon.
Yeah. It is. And the people are great. Let's get over that right now. But if there's one more Tim Hortons on a corner, and I love Timmy's, but please, let's back away from the Timmy's. No, look, the people are great. What I worry about is we've been there for 2 years in a row now, and it's an incredible community. There's no doubt about it. But we've almost used up all the locations, lads.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're almost done with the locations, you know? We're supposed to be kind of Hamilton, kind of Montreal in certain scenes, and I think we might have tapped out on some locations.
So has there been a green light for season 3?
I wish I could tell you, but it's looking good. But you know what I mean? It's... Michael Conavis, the writer, Simon Barry, and Mark Montefiore, and Jose Valet, and Natalie Rodriguez, they're loving it, and I'm loving it, and I'll do it for as long as I'll have.
I guess that's the only struggle with TV. The three of us watch so much of it. You do too. Our listeners do. That you'll see a trailer and you'll be like, I don't know, that doesn't look like an original idea. Like, it's harder than ever now because there used to be just 4 networks in the States, 3, and then 4 with Fox, and now it's there's so many places for actors to get jobs. But your fingers are crossed, hoping there's a second season of stuff. I'll see a trailer and I'll be like, "That's gonna be canceled after 4 episodes." And I hate thinking that way. And sometimes I'm wrong, and sometimes I'm right.
You know, Sons of Anarchy was like that, boys. I don't know if you remember, but our ratings weren't good early.
You caught fire by the 3rd or 4th season, didn't you?
Yeah,
it was a quiet first or second year.
It was first season was like a little bit up, little bump. But at the start of the second season, when Katie Sagal had that really bad episode with the KKK. That was the beginning of our hit. She got nominated that year. She won a Golden Globe that year. Everyone got to know us as characters, and it just went up for the 7 years.
I feel like when you're saying boys, like we're sitting around the table, and Jax is over there, and Bobby's over there, and you're Tig, and we're in Sons of Anarchy.
There's a little less disposable income in our pocket. I don't have anything.
But my relatives are the Mayans. Let's get that straight. I am part of the Mayan family.
You say that. Well, like,
your people.
My people.
I read something a month ago. They were gonna whack Walking Dead after 1 year. They didn't have the buzz for it.
What did that take off?
And it took off. Yeah. Because if I sat and I'm like, how about zombies? Then 3 guys in suits are going to look at me going, come on, honestly, like what we want 11-year-olds to watch it? That's not going to work for us.
Do you find because there is so much competition now with the advent of Netflix and all these other streaming services that series have to come on and they've almost got to hit the ground running now? You don't get the luxury of the kind of the run up to the
Not only is that true, it's got to be, in my mind, unique. If you think about Breaking Bad, think about Sons of Anarchy, Game of Thrones, those, Walking Dead even, those shows were so unique and different. There was no motorcycle show. There's no Game of Thrones out there. Breaking Bad, in Arizona, we're going to crack, and Bryan Cranston's going to star in this wacky, bald-headed. That was so, but if the writing's good and the acting's good and you get lucky, you can have a hit on your hands. Just be yourself,
Hugh, Joanie Loves Chachi only got 1 year. I don't know what they were looking
for.
Joanie Loves Chachi. I don't know what they were. What do you want from a Happy Days spinoff?
Hey, Bad Blood Season 2 premieres tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on City TV with Kim Coates as its star. We thank you so much for joining us again.
You're delightful. Thank you.
Next year when Season 3 and you win another award for stage and you have another movie, you'll be back in studio.
And he sold those Kings Leafs playoff tickets?
Go Leafs, go. I mean it. Go Leafs, go. Thanks, boys.